Blog Talk Radio.
Look at y'all, we are live. It is Friday, November 17th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And it is Praise Break Friday. Y'all know what it is. It's Praise Break Friday. You picked the right song. My God. Why should I be bound? My. We got a great show for y'all today, man. I hope y'all ready for it. How to worship God in hard times. How to worship God in hard times. That's the topic for today's show. I hope y'all are ready for it. I know I am. I'm excited about it. Can't be nothing but excited. But y'all know it don't take much to get me riled up. And look, man, it's good. It's the end of the week. It's Friday. And we're going to have a good time today. Amen? Amen. So look, let me give you a rundown real quick how to be a part of today's show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347. Simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are listening on your phone line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. One more time, if you're listening via your phone line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We would love to hear that way. Again, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Look forward to hearing from you guys that way. Amen. Also, if you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to read those tweets on the air. If you want to contact us via email, do so at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can do so at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. Let's see. The live streams are up and running. I believe they are. Yeah, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Just do a simple search on Ustream, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Divine, and you will find us right there waiting to hear from you. And then Facebook Live is about to be up in a few moments, real quick, just trying to get this last little part in here. Oh, Lord. It will be up in a few moments. Yeah, Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And it is now up and running. We are live. We are live everywhere. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account. Go to your anywhere you can listen to podcasts or blogs. Just do a simple search under any podcast you want to look for. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Amen. Amen. My. This song I'm hearing in the background is just doing something for me. He's a keeper of my soul. My. Hey, God. Yes, sir. My. I think that's the old school. That's the one with Tone and Friendship Baptist Church. Amen. That's the one with Tone and Friendship Baptist Church. That's the one y'all hear playing in the background. My God. Tony, just give me a little bit of volume. Just a little bit. Just give me a little bit of that. That's it right there, right there. My. Yes, he is. Ooh, my. Yeah, that's good. That's yeah. So yeah, that's where we are. We're live today. Today's topic conversation, one more time, is how to worship God in hard times. How to worship God in hard times. We're going to talk about that today and so many other things. There was some breaking news on my way into the studio. Kind of sad news with that. But in spite of that, we're going to continue to praise God simply for who he is, for no other reason. He's done so much for us. But we're going to take days like today and the days to come to praise him simply for who he is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I kind of like that. That's all right. My. Woo! They can say what they want to say about Tone. That Negro can sing, and I don't care what y'all want to talk. Y'all can talk about him if you want to. All I know is that Negro can sing a song and can sing it like nobody else. So, man, my God. But look, y'all, real quick, just some breaking news that I just heard as I was coming into the as I was leaving and I was coming into the studio. Some breaking news. Apparently, let me make sure I got this right. I don't want to misquote this. Let me read this just how it came up on my screen. Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse Jackson, you all, has announced that he has Parkinson's disease. Wow. Reverend Jesse Jackson has announced that he has Parkinson's disease. Let me read this. It says, civil rights activist Reverend Jesse Jackson, 76, has announced he is battling Parkinson's disease, the illness that took his father's life. Jackson said over the last 3 years, he found it increasingly difficult to perform routine tasks, and getting around became more of a challenge. Wow. He went on to say, he says, for a while I resisted interrupting my work to visit a doctor, Jackson said in a news release, but as my daily physical struggles intensified, I could no longer ignore the symptoms, so I acquiesced. Jackson said after a battle of tests, his physicians identified the issue as Parkinson's. Recognition of the effects of this disease on me has been painful, he says. I've been slow to grasp the gravity of it. He says, for me, Parkinson's diagnosis is not a stop sign, but rather a signal that I must make lifestyle changes and dedicate myself to physical therapy in hopes of slowing the disease progression. Wow. Man, that's a hard one to hear. You know, I'm going to say this, and I know people are probably saying, okay, well, we done heard you talk about Jesse on your show. You dog Jesse out. Yeah, I have. I don't agree with everything that some of the things that Jesse Jackson has done. I'm not a fan of his latter work. I'll say that, of his latter work. But in spite of that, I'm not going to take this opportunity to rain down on someone. Parkinson's disease is a horrible disease to have to deal with. It the degradation of the mind and physical extremities, man, is just it's hard to deal with. I have a lot of friends whose parents have gone through that, And I have friends whose parents are going through that right even at this time. And so I understand the gravity of it, and just want to definitely keep the Jackson family, the family of Reverend Jesse Jackson, in our prayers. Jesse Jackson Sr., that is. So again, man, that's a tough pill to swallow. And despite everything else, we just want to continue. We want to pray for that family, man. Pray for the Jackson family. They've done some amazing things. I'm never going to not take away from that. I can't, even if I wanted to. I couldn't take away from that. They've done some amazing things, but we definitely want to keep him and his family in our immediate prayers, because it's something, man, very difficult to deal with. But God is able. You picked the right song. I don't know if you just randomly picked it, but God is able. He's able to do. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. Yeah, that's what he says. That's what he says. And then he says, according to his riches and glory. That's what the Bible says. So we know that God is still a healer, and he can do everything, and he is a keeper. And I like the way Tony said that. He said he's a keeper if you want to be kept. My. If you want to be kept. So we just want, again, man, that was something that was a little hard to hear. But man, so much stuff is just crazy. But moving right along, man, still other stuff going on in the city. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but locally, and I need you all to, if you don't know this, this especially for my people here in Chicago. I know I got folks listening everywhere else, but for my people listening in Chicago, and those of you popping in on Facebook, God bless y'all. Thank y'all for coming on in. Y'all hit the share button and send me a thumbs up or something. Let me know you're watching so I know to pay attention to the screen, because I'm watching two different screens, and I'm trying to just make sure I keep up with all of y'all. But one of the things that has been happening here in Chicago over the past few weeks and months is carjackings have gone up again. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Carjackings in the city of Chicago have gone up. I don't know this, and I'm just telling you what's being reported. But carjackings have gone up lately, and man, that's kind of crazy. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, back when we were coming up in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, carjackings was a big deal. You remember that? Y'all know people got carjacked. You got carjacked at McDonald's. You got your car snapped. You know, people with that was like a big deal, and then it died down. Especially with the advent of all these cars having the majority of these newer cars. You know, if you got a car in the last 4 or 5 years, it has some semblance of GPS in it. It has something in it, and people stopped doing it. But I guess this day and age, you know, people are just doing whatever they want to do. And I'm reading all these reports, man, and it's kind of crazy that carjacking, you know, I hate to say it, look like it's become popular again. You know what I'm saying? This is crazy. I'm just a little bit shocked that's the case. This would continue to happen and happen as frequently as it has been happening lately. There's been a rash of carjackings. I think now, if I'm looking at this right, in the last 2 months, there's been 9 carjackings in the city of Chicago. Is that correct? What's going on, Spank? You can help me out with this, man. You know some people. what's going on with this, man? I mean, like, is this the new normal again, or is this just because it's about to be holiday season? And you know, this is the time where people tend to be a little bit more careless with their time, careless with paying attention to their surroundings. So I'm hoping that this is more of a anomaly and not the beginning of the norm. I'll say that again. I'm hoping this is more of an anomaly and not the beginning of the norm. We don't need another phase of carjackings. It's not something I really, really want to. I'm hoping that that's not a new report that we have to deal with. I'm really hoping that that this is not a new crime that we're going to have to wake up to every day as part of all the other new crimes that have been going on. So that's a lot to deal with. You know, I mean, you all have loved ones that drive late at night, depending on where they work. Your parents, some of y'all parents are still driving. No, my mom still drives, and, And this is just a little silly stuff like this, man. And then when you find out the people who are doing it, these are young punks that are out doing this. These ain't no old seasoned criminals. These young punks, they keep playing, you know, these young punks out there playing games with people's lives. And then all they're doing is running and then tearing up your car, running up your insurance, tearing up somebody else's car. And you know what I'm saying? It's insane. It really is. It really is. I really hope that, like I said earlier, I really hope this is not this is not something that's normal that's about to break out, man. Because if it is, we're in for a long, long holiday season. And just to add to that, or to use the phrase, I'll piggyback to that. We need to be really careful. There was a story the other day. I guess it happened last night. I think it was up north. A group of thieves. This is a crazy one. They were dressed wearing the reflective vest that you see people on the street wearing, and some of the delivery people wearing. They were wearing these vests. And okay, why is that playing right now? all right. I don't know why that was playing. While I'm trying to read it, it started playing. Amen. That must be something new going on. I didn't know that happened. So, did y'all hear that? Or was it just me? Was I the only one that heard? Anyway, there's been a rash of break-ins. And these two people broke in. And watch this. They've been black males between 15 and 18 years old. Black males between 18 and 15 years old, and then females between 16 and 20 years old. That's what's happening right now. So these are kids. These are kids doing this. These are kids that are doing these robberies. These are kids that are doing these break-ins. These are kids that are doing these carjackings. These ain't, you know what I'm saying? These are not seasoned, hardened criminals. These are little kids left unsupervised, unchecked, and they're out there doing these things, man. And it has gotten crazy. But anyway, this lady was coming into the house, and the guy walked up to her with a package saying, hey, you know, I was act as though he was leaving a package. And when she opened the door, he pushed his way on in. And then they pistol whipped her until the guy gave them the money in the house. I don't even understand the craziness of that. I mean, this is the time. This is the time where we're supposed to be more giving, more caring. Right, exactly. Thanks, Spank. Appreciate you. You just said most of them are being used for joyriding or to commit other crimes. Most of them aren't being jacked for profit. Right. They're not stealing your cars because, first of all, you know, the days of stripping cars and all that stuff, That time is past because, see, those people who had these cars and all that stuff, you know, it's too easy for police to track car parts these days. So they ain't got these chop shops don't exist like they used to. But now you got people, man, they're stealing people's cars, man. And they're ruining people's lives with this craziness. And I can't say I'm shocked, but just the fact that this rash of robberies in the city has jumped up the way it has. It's so disheartening. And people are just trying to, you know, people are just trying to live their lives, man. And it's just really, really sad when stuff like this continues to happen. So I'm going to say this again. You all need to be more vigilant. Ladies, I'm going to say this again. Ladies, getting in and out of your car, pay attention to your surroundings. When you get ready to park your car, look at the cars that are immediately to the left and to the right of you. When you're driving home, look, pay attention to the cars in your rearview mirror when you're leaving the store. When you're driving home from the store, if you're finna be out shopping, y'all know next week is the big shopping week, Black Friday. I know how y'all do. Y'all finna be out there all times of night. Pay attention. If you coming home late at night and you know there's normally no traffic, you see a car falling behind you, if you turn, especially those of you who have to turn into alleys to get to your garage, right? If you turn into an alley and you see a car behind you turn into the alley, drive straight through. I'm just telling you this for your own safety. This is me helping you right now. And this is for guys too, but I really want to talk to my ladies. If you have to park in your garage, and parking in your garage, meaning you have to drive through your alley to get to your garage. I'm talking about those of you who live in the city. Y'all in the suburb don't know where the alley is. But if you have to drive through the alley to get to your garage, and you see a car turn in behind you when you're driving into your alley to turn into your garage, just keep driving. Don't stop. Don't let them know what house you're going to. Just keep driving. And if they come out behind you, guess what? You just drive. Because these young cats, man, they first of all, they don't care. They don't care nothing about your life. They don't care nothing about your family. They're looking for what we call a quick come up. They coming. I mean, they coming. They looking for a quick come up. So I'm going to say this again. Please make sure that you are paying attention to your surroundings. When you're coming out of these stores, when you're walking to your cars in the parking lot, don't unlock your car door before you get to your car. I'm going to say that too. I know it's easy. You want to push the button and you want to get inside your car and all that stuff. Now, if you have automatic starter, that's fine. That automatic starters don't unlock the car. I'm just trying to help y'all out because this is getting a little bit crazy. If you got an automatic starter on your car, fine. Please start your car. But before you go to get in your car, pay attention to the cars around you. If it's somebody sitting in the car next to your car and you see them just sitting there and you can't tell who it is, you know what? Maybe turn around and go back. Go back into the store and say, hey, there's a suspicious car outside and I'm afraid to walk to my car. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not about you being a coward. It's not about you being scary. It's about you being cautious. It is about you being cautious. And I know y'all talking, well, you know, I got my pepper spray. I got this. I got that. You know what? Let me tell y'all something right now. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this is even for some of the guys that's walking around. Y'all got, you know, everybody got walking around with their little concealed and carries now and all that stuff. If you have never been in the situation, you don't know how you're going to respond when fear hits. You don't know how you're going to respond when fear hits. So don't say, I got this, I got that, and I'm ready if somebody jump out on me. No. You've never been in that situation. Have you taken any self-defense classes? No. Because if you've taken self-defense classes over and over again, then instinct kicks in. So you kind of know if somebody come up behind you and try to grab you, then you know. But if you've never had that happen to you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to freeze up. So I want to say this again. I know you guys are going to be out this weekend shopping. Y'all finna get ready for the holiday next week. And I just want y'all to be careful because these guys out here, these young cats out here are crazy. I'm so tired of reading these articles and everything. And then even over here, in Austin, literally right around the corner, when I say right around the corner, I mean it, on the 800 block. Watch this. Yesterday, three teenagers were shot fatally during a home invasion on the 5600 block of West Washington Boulevard. What y'all want me to do with that? Home invasion. The two teenage boys and one teenage girl were inside the home when someone entered and demanded the victim's property. One boy was fatally shot in the back. The second boy was fatally shot in the head. They have been identified as Charlie Lawrence, 15. Watch this. Oh, my God. Jesus. They have been identified as Charlie Lawrence, 15 of the 1300 block, the 113th block of South Indiana. And Tyrese Wise, 16 of the 800 block of North Central. The third victim, a 14-year-old girl, was shot in the leg and taken to the hospital. Police are investigating the incident. Y'all see what I'm saying about this? Now, I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna say this again. This time of year, this is the time of year where people get more bold and more desperate. And I'm not, and please don't think I'm justifying anything by what I'm about to say, but people are stupid enough to think that stealing from you is going to enhance somebody else's Christmas. Yeah, that's good. That's good, Spank. Spank says, Anton says, unfortunately, with everything that's going on with the police, they aren't being proactive. They're only being reactive, and crime is only going to get worse. Yeah. And it's hard to be, and I understand where you're coming from. It's hard to be proactive when there's guilt on both sides. Because you have some people crying wolf when ain't no wolf, and then you have people who've been crying for years and have not been being heard. So police only show up now. There is no, and this is where community policing is so important. This is where you don't allow people to sit on your block in cars for 2 and 3 hours at a time just sitting in their car. Call the police. I'm serious. Don't allow somebody to just sit on your block for 2 hours in the car and you don't know who they are and you don't know the car. Call the police. Say, hey, you know what? There's a strange car on my block and I don't know the person in the car and I've never seen the car before. You know what that does? That causes the police to come out, walk, drive up to that car, raise their window down and knock, blow their horn and say, hey, excuse me, can I help you with something? Are you okay over here? Is everything good? And if they're up to no good, guess what? They're going to leave. So you got to be proactive. This is where community policing is so important. I'm just trying to help y'all. But I want you all to get it and understand it, man. There's too much time and too many people being lost, man, because of just lack of paying attention to your surroundings. Be aware, man. Be vigilant when you're going in and out your door. If you get up early in the morning, you know, some of y'all got to be at work at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, which means you got to get up at 5 or 6 and you're leaving out and it's still dark outside. You need to be vigilant, man, because these cats, man, you know, they're sitting back just watching your habits. They're watching your habits. They're watching to see which way you come home. They're watching to see how you come in at night. They're watching to see which way you drive home. They're watching to see which bus you catch. You guys have got to be very careful, man. I'm tired of if you don't believe me, just go to the Channel 7 news site right now. And just, you know, go to the Channel 7 news site and just look and click on how many crimes and robberies have taken place in the last 5 days. And wait a minute, they're taking place in broad daylight. They're breaking in people's houses. They're carjacking people in broad daylight. Don't get me wrong. I like my music loud in my car. I'm getting my gospel on while I'm driving. And a lot of times you're right. It's easy not to pay attention. And y'all get in these cars and you don't think about locking the door or any of that stuff. And, you know, we need to get back to a time where you remember back in the day, and I said this earlier, remember back in the day in the 80s when people were snatching purses out of cars and it was carjacking folks and people made it a point to make sure your doors were locked in your car. I know most of the cars these days when you drive off the door locks, but, you know, you just make sure, man. I just want y'all to be safe because guess what? Some of the places that you go to, I'm about to go somewhere with this, and I know some people ain't going to like it, but get over it. Some of the places you go to aren't that safe. Some of the places you go to don't really care that much about your safety. You can tell by what you see when you get there. In this century we call the 21st century, any place that you frequent, whether it be a store, a business, wherever it is you go, laundromat, any place that does not have surveillance, then that means you're on your own. I'm going to say that again. Any place you go into and you don't see not one camera nowhere, that means the people at that business or that facility probably don't care about you enough to put up surveillance. I'll say it again. They don't care enough about you and your well-being and or your property to say, hey, we at least want to be a deterrent to the people. We at least want to make sure that you know. And again, I understand surveillance cameras ain't never stopped the robbery, but they may have slowed some people down from actually committing it. People see cameras and they'll go in a different direction. You're right. Don't be predictable. I told somebody this a long time ago. I knew they catches the bus. Get off at a different stop every now and then. Because, see, people that you see on the bus every day, they ain't riding the bus because they're on their way to work. They riding the bus to see back and forth. They look, they just like Satan, going to and fro to see who they can mess with. So be careful. You guys that are away in school, that are in college, you're walking back from the dorm to the back and forth to the dorm from classrooms, you're going out at night, be careful. Be careful. This is the time where people are in jovial moods and they're very happy, and you get excited and happy about being, you're getting ready to go on vacation, you tend to be lax in paying attention to your surroundings. I know this. I know what we're supposed to be talking about, but this is something that's really going, it's bugging me, and I felt the need to, I need to try to warn you all, especially my people here in the city. I know y'all in other areas that listen to this show and watch this show via Facebook and Ustream and everywhere else. I understand your situations may be better or not or whatever, but this may apply to you as well. But ladies, and guys, be aware. Be aware. And watch this. All criminals ain't wearing hoods no more. All these guys is robbed. They ain't wearing hoods. They got on a nice turtleneck and some slacks. And will rob you in their nice turtleneck and some slacks. So I just need you all to be careful, man. I do. I just want y'all to be careful. Be vigilant. Pay attention to your surroundings. Because at this day and age, people are really, really crazy. People are really crazy. Okay, real quick. Just something about politics real quick. So I told you guys the other day about what was going on, why everybody was watching Jeff Sessions in the other room on the other side. They were trying to take some of President Trump's power away from being able to push the button on the nuclear weapons, right? All right. So yesterday, the House passed a tax bill, right? They're trying to do this tax reform. Well, here's what they did. They failed at trying to kill Obamacare, right? They failed at trying to kill Obamacare. But now they've put in measures in this tax reform that would take away the individual mandates that help pay for parts of Obamacare. So when they pass this new tax reform, the parts that say if you don't have tax, if you know the one that says if you don't have Medicare, if you don't have insurance, you have to pay some sort of a fine, that's the individual mandate, right? So they're talking about taking that away. And by taking that away, that's going to take some $13 billion. I'm sorry, that's going to put some 13 million people off health care, because there will be no funding for it, essentially killing the Affordable Care Act. So they're doing an around in run. They're now using the tax reform to try to pass to kill the Affordable Care Act. I'm going to need y'all to wake up and pay attention to what's being said. And then they're saying they're going to save you tax dollars. Watch this. If you are a family of three or four, married, family of three or four, and you make less than $150,000 a year, do you know they're taking away your deductions of your house? You're no longer going to be able to deduct your homes. You're no longer going to be able to deduct the cost of your home, the taxes on your home, the improvements on your home. They're taking all of that away. So what do you think is going to happen? So now all those lovely deductions that we like to use for our properties and everything like that, they're taking all that away. But if you make over $250,000, you get to file the alternative minimum tax. And you don't lose nothing. I need y'all to pay attention to stuff, man. I really do. I need y'all to pay attention to stuff, because people will try to pull the wool over your eyes telling you this is this, and they really trying to run something else in the background. So I just wanted to put that out there real quick and, share that with y'all. Real quick, one more time. This was breaking news as I was coming in today. Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. Has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And I want you all to make sure, so keep him in your prayers. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. If you've read about it, you know people who have it. It's a scary, scary situation, and it's something that you just, man, there's a lot of things you can get, but that's one of the ones where, you know, there is no cure for it right now. All you can do is try to change your lifestyle and change your diet and change the way you lived, or try to possibly slow down the progress. That's really all you can do with something like that, man. And that's kind of sad to hear. Just wanted to share that with you guys one more time. Hey, y'all, look, it's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to go get me something to drink. My throat kind of scratchy up in this piece. You know, we got the heat on up in here, but it's that old school dry heat. You know, it'll scratch. Yeah, exactly. Muhammad Ali had it. Right. It is a form of that. Muhammad Ali did have it, and so many others. So we just want to, man, keep him in our prayers. And but like I said earlier, man, we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to celebrate. We're going to continue to celebrate all that God is. And we recognize that God is a keeper, man. He really is. So look, we're going to do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue today's conversation. And then we're going to jump into the article. And then I got a question for y'all. I got a question for you. I had a question for my church folks, for my folk that attend churches and all that. I got a question for y'all. We're going to be right back, y'all. TT, LO, be black. All right. He is my everything. Jesus is my everything. That's that old school Adrian B. King in reverence. Adrian B. King in reverence. I love it. Look, y'all, we are back. It's Praise Break Friday, November 17, 2017. Taking limits off. Y'all know how we go. Angela, what you talking about? Angela says, "Then you're going to get up off us church folks." I have a question. Two things, man. One thing that really got me before I asked the question. As I was coming in today, you know, and it's kind of chilly outside. Y'all know the temperature. I'm not telling y'all nothing y'all don't already know. But as I was coming in outside, I noticed that, you know, we have our food pantry today, and this is pretty much the last food pantry we'll do before the Thanksgiving holiday. It's the last food pantry we'll do before the Thanksgiving holiday, and then we don't have one the week of Thanksgiving here at the church. And the line was ridiculous. Now, I'm here every Friday. I know what the line looks like, and normally when I get here about 10 minutes to or 10 or 11 or 11:45, 10 minutes to, I've been trying to get better, y'all. I got here early today, but the computer did what it wanted to do. But as I get here earlier, I see the line when it's outside on Friday. But today, man, that line was extremely long. And you know it's you happy to see the line long, but on the other side you're not. If you understand where I'm going with this, you're happy that you're able to feed so many people. But then the real thing happens when you're disappointed that you have to. You see what I'm saying? Y'all follow what I'm saying? You glad to see the line? I'm gonna tell y'all right now. The line was at our church. Is on the corner of Central and Fulton. The door that the people come through from is on the Fulton side. It's almost towards the back of the church, right near the alley, right? It's on the Fulton side of the street. And the line, when I got here, was all the way wrapped around Central, all the way to the There is a halfway house for mental patients next door. The line was there coming all the way around. And then I'm thinking, wow. And the first thing my thought was, it's cold outside. Why ain't we let these people in? Y'all know me. I wanted to come in and be like, hey, y'all let these people in here. It's cold outside. But when I got inside, it was already packed. They couldn't get in. There was no place for them. And it just made me like, wow. I mean, I was so proud of the work that's being done, but it just makes you go, my God. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's some people in line who don't need to be in line. I'm not going to even go there. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm gonna let that part go. But I'm talking about I'm talking about the fact that there is a line of people and everything. So I want to do this. I want to remind you all on Thursday, next Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, here at Kingdom Baptist Church. Here at Kingdom Baptist Church. I know y'all gonna be preparing your own dinners and everything else for your families and all that. But I know, because I know people who won't have enough food. I know that I know people. And if I know people that ain't going to have enough food, guess what? That means y'all know people that ain't going to have enough food. So this is what I need you all to do. If you're in the Chicagoland area, right, and you know people who don't have enough food, let them know that here at Kingdom Baptist Church, 301 North Central, we will be feeding people from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock. The service starts at 10. So you come in at 10. The service is from 10 to 2. And you can come in and sit down and eat with us. Ain't nobody finna try to convert you. Ain't nobody finna try to make you change churches. Ain't nobody finna try to take your money. We not finna ask you for no offering. We ain't finna do none of that. All we're asking is that if you know somebody who comes down, who needs something to eat on Thanksgiving Day, we have people who have the food has already been taken care of. All you have to do is show up and bring, and watch this. If they don't have a ride, if they don't know how to get here, then get them here. Get them here. Y'all got cars. Put these folks in your cars. Now watch this. If you have a church and you know of a church and y'all ain't doing nothing and you got people in your church who might be hungry, don't deny them because you're concerned about them changing churches. Have them come and eat. Please do. Please, sir. Please, ma'am. Bring your people out. 301 North Central Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to make sure this stays up. Make sure you have a chance. I'm going to say it. I'm going to announce it again on Wednesday, the day before the holiday. But I want it to be out there. I don't want there to be any ambiguity. The picture, the flyer is taken on the TTLO page. It's on my Minister King page. It's on the KBC page. It's on the KBC It's on the website. It's on all of that. So, you know, please, Kathleen says she's coming. You in Chicago, Kathleen. You the man up here from Georgia. But I just want y'all to please do that, man. Please come out. And guess what? I'll be here. I'll be here just to shake your hand and talk to you and laugh with you and mess around with you, tease you about something. And, you know, I'll talk about you if your plate look a little too full. Now, if you put too much on your plate, you know. So y'all are welcome to come on Thursday. Welcome to come on Thursday, man. It's gonna be good. But I got a question. Here's my question for my peoples in the church. Here's my question. And y'all know I ask a question with a thought in mind before I ask it. I don't just I ask because I have an opinion on something, but I won't. I ask because I just want to know. I want to know. What's going on, Pat Hicks? I saw you. Happy Friday. God bless y'all. Some of y'all done jumped in the room, and I didn't mean to ignore y'all. Jacqueline Todd, Beverly Pittman, W.C. Rice. What's going on, W.C.? W.C. going to be the one down there doing a whole lot of cooking, y'all. That's the good deacon chef. W.C. Rice will be cooking a lot of the food down here for us on Thursday. There we go. All right. So we good. We good. I think we should be back. We should be back. Thank you. Latanya, let me know if we good. For some reason, your message did not pop up on my screen, but I now see it. I now see it. I did not see it before, but I now see it. Okay, we good. All right. All right. So don't stop these happy things. Now, so here's a question. Here's a question. Two questions, and it's pertaining to the holiday coming up. Are y'all big sticklers for not celebrating those of you who have children in your church, right? Y'all got children in y'all's church. Are y'all putting up Christmas trees in y'all's church? I ain't talking about in the sanctuary. I ain't talking about in the sanctuary. I'm saying, are y'all putting up Christmas trees in y'all's church? And do you go to a church where the preacher and somebody else sits up and denigrates Santa Claus? I'm just curious. Do you go to a church where you know, don't get me wrong, I understand Santa Claus ain't real. I get it. I understand the true meaning of Christmas. I understand it's about Christ being born. I get it. I do. I get it. My question, however, is asking, do you allow the people to celebrate the others? Do you allow, along with your regular holiday celebration, do you still celebrate Christmas? Do you still celebrate Christmas? I'm just asking a question. Because I'm wondering if a lot of churches, because I know a good friend of the show, Reggie Royal, he made it real plain. He putting up his Christmas tree. He ain't got no problem putting up a Christmas tree. And I don't either. And this is one of the things that I love. It's like, why is it? And I guess it goes to a bigger issue. Why are we skipping? Why are we so quick to rush? They should be concerned about the condition of the people's soul welfare more than Santa Claus. Okay. All right. I get that. I'm with you. I'm with you. But what if you are at a church where they are concerned about people's soul, but they still want to do a celebratory celebration? They still want to have a celebration, with the whole Christmas trees and the Christmas lights and the garnish and the all of that. Is that wrong? And don't get me wrong. I know what's Bible and what ain't. That's not the discussion. I'm asking, is it wrong in your eyes, those of you watching and listening, is it wrong in your eyes to celebrate Christmas? Like, for instance, if you have a team, if you are a pastor of a church and you have a leadership team and y'all decide to do a grab bag, right, for Christmas, is that wrong? I'm just curious. I just want to know y'all's feelings on it. If you're in the choir and the choir decides they want to do a Christmas grab bag, or the praise team or the deacon's ministry or the deaconesses or the whoever, the minister's wives or however y'all want to do it, the young people, if they decide they want to do grab bags, is that considered a no-go in the church? I'm just curious. Is that a deal breaker for some of y'all? Because some of y'all are so holy that you say Santa Claus and y'all will start hollering, you're going to hell. Y'all know how y'all do. Y'all real holy. Y'all real holy. So my question is it okay? It says giving gifts is not an issue, to celebrate others. It's about Jesus' presence, not presents. Okay, I get that. And that's good. You're being deep though, Kathleen. You're being deep. And this ain't really a deep type of deal, but you're being deep. I understand something about the presence. I'm talking about if you are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, you believe in making sure people's souls are intact. Is there anything wrong on top of that? On top of that, I'm not saying instead of. I'm saying on top of still doing the whole, we're going to celebrate some presents, we're going to light the tree, we're going to have a tree church. Like in your church. Like what if your church had an enormous size hallway, right? And you decide to put up a huge tree, and y'all had a tree trimming party at the church. Would some of my super saints be offended by that? Would some of my super saints be offended by that? I'm just curious. I don't know. I understand the whole Santa Claus deal. I'm one who as a kid, I loved the whole Santa Claus story. I loved it. My mama told it to me. I thought it was, I'm bringing the ornaments. And look, and I don't mean to talk about Christmas as early, because I'm one who hates people who do that, who I don't want to hear the Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Let me get my turkey on first before we jump to that. But it's just one of those things where I keep hearing all that. I've seen people already posting about it and all that. Don't you put Santa Claus over Jesus. I'm not saying do that. I'm just asking the question, why are we so deep? Why are we so deep that we can't even enjoy just a little moment of fun and fellowship and all of that? I'm just asking a question. But the real question I want to ask my church people is this. I know what the Bible said. We've been talking about this, and we're in the process, too. I want to tell you all this. We're in the process of planning this show. Angela, I need you to get with Tanya. Tanya, you get with Angela about a schedule. Because I know you're back at work now, so your schedule ain't as open as it was before. But we're putting together this piece on forgiveness, and we're gonna do this show on forgiveness. It may even end up being more than one show. And I had this mindset. This is a thought I had. I haven't even told Tanya this because it just hit me in my head. It just hit me while I'm sitting here right now. Y'all know that stuff come to me. But watch this. We may even do the show at a different time. How y'all feel about that? Maybe we do the show and have an evening setting. That way we can work around people's schedules. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we do an evening setting. And it may even be on a different day. Ooh. That just popped in my head while I'm sitting here. I just decided to just do that. I don't know why. Not that it's going to happen, but I'm just saying it's a thought. Do it on a different day and have that man and do this piece on forgiveness, because I want a panel to be here. I want them to be comfortable. I don't want to feel like it's rushed. I want to have the openness to be able to have a frank discussion about it, because I want to talk about the offenses. The question I really wanted to ask you all was, about offenses. How long do you allow someone? We talked about this. I had a very good conversation with Prophet Cornelius Williams on Wednesday. We had a long conversation with Prophet Cornelius on Wednesday about offending yourself. And he says how you can't offend yourself. But then the next question I want to ask is, how long do you allow others to offend you? That's the question I'm asking right now. How long do you allow others to offend you? I'm going to spend the next 6 minutes with this, and then I'm going to do this article at 1 o'clock. How long do you allow others to offend you? Meaning, how long do you sit back and not say, do, react, or anything? Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm just curious. I really want y'all to help me with that. How long do you go before you say something? What's the time frame before you respond to the person offending you? Or I'll say it like this. How long are you required as a Christian to be a punching bag? Let me say it that way. I wish I had some pastors on here right now. I'll ask the question again. Here's the question again. How long as a Christian are you required to be a punching bag? How long must I let my other brother or sister in Christ offend me? How long? I'll say it this way. How long must I allow you to keep hitting me before I hit you back? I'm asking a question because I believe in the church. I believe in the church. I believe. Angela says zero time. See, Angela, now, see, that's my thinking. But you know, I need you to put your pastor hat on. I need you to put your pastor hat on. How long do you allow the offense to take place before you react? How long? Because I think the misconception in the church is, I have to stand here, stand my ground. How long do I have to stand here and allow you to do what you're doing, say what you're saying, and do whatever it is, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, whatever? How long are we required to take it? Kathleen, she says, oh, wait, Pat Hicks, I want to read your Christmas tree comment real quick. She says, we have three in the vestibule, three in the vestibule of the church, little garden and sanctuary. Almost every group in the church plans their own Christmas. You're right about Thanksgiving. It gets no play. They jump straight from Halloween to Christmas. Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Pat Hicks. Appreciate you. Angela says, zero times. I would deal with it immediately. Angela Johnson says, I was basically having this conversation with myself today. Kathleen says, I'm not taking anyone's garbage. I'm checking them immediately. Angela Johnson says, see, anything past today is a lie. And I would love y'all's comments on this. I'm serious. Nip it in the bud immediately, okay? Because I'm lying to me and you. Now, that's the sin. I haven't had to deal with that for a long time, but since I've gotten older, not long, we are going to fix whatever the situation is in a hurry. I'm not one for confrontation. Okay. Not one for confrontation. That's good. I appreciate y'all because, see, y'all some seasoned saints. Y'all ain't no new school saints. But here's the deal, because I want to try to help some of my new people. Somebody see, because everybody's been in church a long time that ain't had no relationship with God a long time. So the question I'm asking is not just for my benefit, but it's also for theirs. How long do you allow people to treat you any kind of way without even acknowledging the fact that you're mistreating me? That's the question. Angela John said, it's not what you do, but why you do it. My mom raised me properly. You communicate with folks righteously. Ignore works too. Takes two to tangle. Okay. Now, help me with that. Because here's the deal. I know of too many situations where in the church, we're expected. Because I know people are going to say, grace. The first thing y'all want to holler is grace. Give them grace. Okay. I get that. I wish I had some more pastors on here that could help me to jump on here and help me with this conversation. But y'all, we holler grace. I get that. And I understand that grace needs to continually be extended. I get that as well. But where does some consequences for their actions come into place? That is right there. Where does some consequences, or do we continue to sit back and say, God got him? Do we sit back and do we just continue to say, oh, I'm not going to deal with you. I'm going to let God handle you. Is that what's necessary? Because, see, my Bible said, because, see, I do have faith that God can handle the situation. But my Bible also says that faith without work is dead. And I believe I might have to put in a little work. See, I got faith in these hands God gave me. Y'all pray for me. I got faith in these hands God gave me. Come on now. I do. I'm just saying. I got faith in these hands God gave me, and I believe I'm not supposed to just sit there and allow you to punch me. I need to be able to, you know. You know what made Floyd Mayweather such a wonderful boxer? It wasn't the fact that he punched first. It was his counter-punching. It was the fact that when you swung and missed, and he kept making you swing and miss, and then every now and then he would get you with a 1-2 real quick, like pop, pop, and make you think about coming in there again, like, wait a minute now, hold on, what? And then, you know, you mad now, and then you run at him again, and you're swinging, and you're missing, and then he hits you again, pop, pop, pop. Now you're like, wait a minute, hold on, I wasn't expecting you to hit me back like that. You know, I'm swinging with all I got, and you keep ducking and dodging, and you ain't got a bruise on you. And then every time I swing that one good swing, now you instead of hit me with a three-piece, you hit me with a pop, 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 pop. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking this question to my brothers and sisters. Y'all been in church a long time, and I'm just wondering, how long do you allow people to keep pushing you? That's just the question I'm asking. I'm interested. Kathleen says, carnal Christians attack, not spirit-filled. Okay, so let me take it this way for a few moments. For a few moments, let me take it this way because the article we have today is short, so I'll get right through it for a few moments. Isn't it possible that some spirit-filled Christians can still have moments of carnality? I don't mean to take it deep, but is it not possible that spirit-filled Christians can still have moments of carnality? Meaning, yes, you're spirit-filled and full of the Holy Ghost, but then every now and then you get full of something else, and then you allow that something else to run your mouth and to do whatever else, and then, you know, shouldn't there be some consequences? Angela says, Dana, I have a rep for dealing with crap immediately, so I won't have skeletons, hidden, hurt issues in my closet. She says, I'm not getting ready to quote a bunch of scriptures because you know all that. Let's deal with adults just like that. You ain't going to the mega church and cut the fool, so you ain't going to do it here. Well, see, you know what? That's why she's my twin. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100%. You only do it where you do it because they allow you to get away with it. Because you ain't going to do it at John Hanna's church. You ain't going to do it at Salem. You ain't going to do it at Mars Hill. You ain't going to do it at Lifeline. You ain't going to do it at these other churches. But you want to come do it over somewhere else. You ain't going to do it at the Potter's House. You ain't going to do it at New Birth. You ain't going to do it at Destiny Center. You ain't going to do it at none of these places. Apostolic faith, new apostolic, free. You ain't going to do it. But you know, because folks know your name a little bit, you feel like you can do and say whatever. Now, don't you be laying that fivefold on nobody. You hear me? Don't be touching them. Angela, I'm too old for fighting. I am. I'm too old for fighting. I ain't got time for that. I'm just saying, but you know, I can say four sentences that can do more damage to you than my hands ever would. Y'all pray for me. Well, Lord, some folk just need to be told. That's all it is. See, some folk, you don't have to beat up nobody. Some folk just ain't been told. Or as my great grandmother used to say, some folk ain't been read from Genesis to Revelations just yet. That's why from Genesis to Revelation, that's why they still acting a fool. That's all that is. That's all that is. Healthy confrontations are good. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Healthy confrontations are good. Yes, they are. All right, y'all, listen, we're going to jump into this article. Today's conversation is going to be good, man. I hope y'all ready for this. Hope y'all ready for this. We're going to do real quick. We're going to take this real 30-second break. Be right back. TCLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, amen, amen. Today's conversation is from crosswalk.com. How to worship God in hard times. How to worship God in hard times. This is good, y'all. This is good. How to worship God in hard times. Let me drag this over here. Give me one second. Yep, let me put that over there. And then let's move this right here. Amen. And then let's move this right over here. Amen. All right. How to worship God in hard times. This is good. The writer says this. The writer of Lamentations was not alone in his faith-building technique. He goes on to say the psalmists were constantly practicing this discipline. In so many of the Psalms, the writer recalls the story of God's faithfulness as a bridge toward worship and hope. Psalm 13, for example, begins with a desperate cry, but ends with a reminder of God's track record for your life. It reads like this, verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 13 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? He says, how long, O Lord? He says, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have my sorrows in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? 5 urgent questions from a worshiper longing to be free of his suffering. Oh, my God. Excuse me. Yet he ends in song. He ends his song with the choice to believe and trust in the powerful and merciful nature of his God. This is how he says. Now, mind you, that was verse 2, 1 and 2. But in verse 5 and 6, he says this. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. My. See, I don't want y'all to miss that. Now, this is in the Bible. Excuse me. This is in the Bible. He says, the writer is saying this. And this is early Psalm, so this is obviously David. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forgive? He says, how long? He first asked the question, how long, O Lord? That's the first question. Then he says, will you forget me forever? That's the second question. Then he says, how long will you hide your face from me? That's the third question. Then he says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day my sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? So now he's saying in his speech, how long are you going to leave me this way, right? That's what he says. But then in verse 5 and 6, he says, but I trust you anyway. See what I'm saying? Well, he says, I trust you anyway, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Right? He says, the psalmist here teaches us beautiful truth. Remembering releases rejoicing. When you remember how good God has been, it releases the worship. Oh, y'all gonna miss this. When you remember what he's brought you through, when you remember how good he's been to you, it releases praise and worship. Okay, y'all gonna play. Y'all gonna act like y'all don't hear me. All right. He says, throughout the ages, the people of God have found strength in this approach. Take, for example, the writer of the old hymn, The Solid Rock. He says, a song deeply rooted in the truth of an unchangeable, unshakable Savior. He says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I will rest on his unchanging grace. In other words, in times when we can't seem to perceive God amidst our pain and clouds of anxiety and fear closes in on us, the way forward is to remind ourselves of what we know to be true and dependable, and that's the unchanging grace of God. So I mean, let's look at this thing. I understand that things are difficult, right? I understand that times get hard. I understand family issues. Stuff will happen, and family will get on your nerves. Church folk, my God, will get on your nerves. Folk you work with will get on your nerves. That spouse sometimes will get on your nerves. That girlfriend, whoever, boyfriend, whoever, somebody going to get on your nerves. But even in the process of struggles like that, you still have to remember who God is and what he has done for you, who he is to you. The writer says this. He says, it's like looking at the moon. He says, we've all seen the full moon and therefore know something of its form, but we don't always witness it like this. Oh, my God, this is good. He says, some nights we see a half moon, at other times just a small sliver of a moon, and on some occasions we see nothing at all, just the faintest outline hitting by clouds. Yet the point is, even when the moon is obstructed from our view, oh, this is good, we still are convinced of its existence. Just because we only see half of it, oh, Jesus, it doesn't mean that the whole thing still ain't there. I'm going to let that sit right there for just a moment. I'm gonna allow that to sit right there for just a moment. He says, the same is true of our walk as worshipers of Jesus. At times, painful life circumstances seem to obstruct our view of him, meaning sometimes things can get real heavy and we don't see Jesus in his fullness like we normally do. But that doesn't mean we still don't recognize that he's still there. What that simply means is I have to learn to trust him even when I can't trace him. Oh, my. I have to learn to trust him even when I can't trace him. So watch this. In life and in scripture, we know him to be good and kind as he ever was. Faced with challenging times, a wise worshiper looks over the form of the Lord, recalling the soul-refreshing wonders of his nature and attributes. And through his this finds ways to place to. I'm sorry. Through this finds a way to place finds a way to the place of praise. I'm gonna learn how to read in about 3 minutes. Finds a way to the place of praise. Our Father in heaven has an incredible track record. My. So even when things don't look right, huh? Even when they don't look right, even when it don't look like it's working, even when it don't look good, come on now, you got to recognize it's working for my good. That's real. That's real. Come on. Let's get back to this. The writer says, finding hope in dark moments. He says, faced with anguish and distress. Watch this. Now we're going to deal with Psalm 42. Verses 5, 6, and 11. Psalm 42, he says, faced with anguish and distress, the psalmist even talked to himself to find strength and hope. He repeatedly speaks to his soul, reminding himself that there is one who can save him, and twice he cries out in Psalm 42. This is what the writer says. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He says, if you yourself are in a season of struggle, take a moment now just to remind yourself of the God who sees your struggle. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my. Take a moment for yourself and remind yourself of the God who sees your struggle. He says, it's possible to talk to your soul or talk your soul into a place of hope. We worship a triumphant Savior, a victorious King, the all-powerful of a loving God who is faithful in all he says and gracious in all he does. He says, the one who has never been anxious, overwhelmed, or outsmarted, the God of the unbroken promises. When he acts, no one can reverse it. Can I say that again? When God acts, no one can reverse it. You want to maybe break that down and make it a little simple? What God has for you is for you. If God said it's yours, it don't matter what they try to do in the back room. Oh, my God, I'm going to just let that sit right there. We have to recognize that every day, we're faced with a choice, either to acknowledge and proclaim him as the great merciful God he declares himself to be, or we need to deny it. We can't keep having it both ways, y'all. We can't keep saying, I love God, but then deny his power. We can't keep calling him Jehovah Jireh, but then forget that he provided for us. We can't keep saying he's Jehovah this and Jehovah that, and then forget when times get a little rough, we forget who he is. And as one of our watchers and listeners said earlier today, we fall back into that carnal nature and want to handle it ourselves. This is good. This is good. I hope y'all getting this. I know we got some folks that just joined us. A few of y'all just joined us on Facebook Live right now. Yvette Quinones, Kiera Elmore, Danielle. What's going on, Danielle? And Gwendolyn Rogers. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. So watch this. And to all y'all listening on, those of you watching on Ustream, I'm not forgetting y'all either. I see y'all over there on Ustream. All of y'all listening on the phone line and all of y'all listening via Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is Taking Limits Off Radio. If you just tuned in, Taking Limits Off Radio, it's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do. But we're talking about worshiping God in a rough time, worshiping God during a struggle. That's what we're talking about right now. And if you haven't ever listened before, you know, if the first time you listened, then hopefully this is something that you'll be able to get. This is something you can get from this. Amen. So let's keep going. The writer says this about this. He says, come on. He says, what to do when you feel stuck? Anybody ever feel stuck? He says, that may sound a touch harsh, but please hear it in the context of the incredible wealth of patience, kindness, and compassion stored up for us in the heart of God. For in his amazing grace, our Heavenly Father finds delight even in the most broken and fragile of our offerings. In the same way that an earthly father will rejoice upon receiving a simple yet heartfelt piece of art from his young child. Yet this is only one side of the mystery. Our God is also the majestic and holy King, worthy to be trusted and believed for the wonderful truth he has to say about himself. He desires and requires faith, trust, and obedience. God wants worshipers who stake their lives on the truths of his nature and attributes. Note, the heart of posture, watch this. I believe in the sun, even in when it's not shining. I mean, I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Watch this. Every act of worship is a choice. I'm going to say that again. Every act of worship is a choice. This is why I love when Prophet Williams was here the other day, and he was like, I choose to have a healthy mind. My God, I choose to worship him. I choose to praise him. I choose to no longer to allow you to offend me. Come on. That's where we got to go. I choose to no longer allow you to offend me. I choose to live holy. Come on, somebody. I choose to no longer allow you to knock me off my square. I choose to no longer allow you to assassinate my character. I choose. There is a choice that you and I have to make. This is good. Let me wrap this thing up. We got 10 minutes. The writer says, every act of worship is a choice. He said, a decision to believe and respond to God for who he says he is, no matter how pressing our circumstances, meaning what? I don't care how hard it gets. I choose to trust you. And see, that's not the same kind of faith you can have in man. Man is going to let you down. When I say man, I mean women too. Man is going to let you down. But I choose to put my faith and my trust in him. The writer says, and the greater the pain, oh my God, and the greater the pain we're experiencing, the greater a choice it may be. Meaning, the harder the world seems to feel like it's crawling on top of your shoulders, the heavier it seems to be, the greater the choice has to be. It's like, you ever heard the story of the mountain climber? The hiker, I believe it was a hiker, and he was hiking in the mountains, and he fell, and his arm was, I think it was either his arm or his leg, I don't remember, maybe it's two different stories, but his arm or his leg was trapped between a boulder and a rock, and he didn't have the energy to push the rock off. So I think it was his arm. He didn't have the energy to push the rock off. And so for days he sat outside, outdoors, no food, running out of food, running out of shelter, getting cold, days and days and days, no help, couldn't call nobody. He had to make a choice. And I like what the writer said, the greater the pain, the greater the choice. Ooh, Jesus, this is going to help me. The greater the pain, the greater the choice. He had to make the choice. He had to make the choice. Either I lay here and die, or I do what's necessary for me to live. He had to make the choice to cut off his arm to save his life. Jesus. He had to make the choice to cut off his arm to save his life. Sometimes the greater the pain we're experiencing means the greater choice we have to make. Ooh, Jesus. My. He says, the writer says, sometimes we will walk blindly, unable to understand why we are going through a certain situation. Our only comfort being the knowledge that God himself is not walking blindly, but instead is wisely and kindly and firmly in control. Yeah, you may not be able to see, but that's why you put your hand in his. Oh my, oh my. You ever crossed? You ever had to walk a blind person across the street? You ever had to help someone? You ever had to help someone who couldn't see across the street? They are literally putting their trust
in you. That they're saying, I can't see where you're leading me. I know where you're, where I'm supposed to be going, but because I can't see, I have to put my, and what happens is they put their hand in your hand. They wrap their arm around your arm, and then you lead them. This is the same kind of trust on a larger scale that we have to have in God. I'm going to help somebody. Even though you may not be able to see past your hurt, you may not be able to see past your disappointment, whether it be disappointment in yourself or disappointment in others. You may not be able to see past that, but that's when you got to put your hands in the hand of the one who we know got all of the sight. That's when you have to put your hand in the one of the one who has the vision. That's when you have to trust him. Even though you can't trace him, you have to trust him. Even though he doesn't show up like he always, even though it's not, the sun ain't shining as bright, you still know the sun is still up. Oh, my. That's when you have to have some real faith. That's when you have to sit there. Come on now. Come on now. That's when you have to trust that, look, God, I know you ain't going to leave me in this too long. I know you got me out here for a reason. Lord, I know you're letting me take these shots. I know you, watch this, I know you're proving me. See, that's where I am. Can I talk to y'all about me? Can I talk about me? That's where I am right now. I know you're proving me. Yeah. I know you got me going through some of this stuff right now because you're proving me. I know you got me going through this because you're trying to get some of this mess up off of me, because you know what's coming down the pipeline. You know if I can't handle this, I ain't going to be able to handle that. So I understand that you're proving me. My. So the writer goes on to say this. He says, indeed, as we will begin to see, so our Father in heaven will take our broken moments and weave them into a powerful tapestry to the glory of his name. Yeah. So why did I read all this, and why did I say all this? God allows us to go through, if you really trust him, and you know at the end of the day, it's about your soul and his glory, he allows us to go on these roller coaster rides to teach us. He allows you and I to keep going through these same situations to teach us. And the only reason we're continuing to have to repeat it over and over again is because you and I have yet to learn the lesson behind it. And until you and I decide to learn the lesson behind it, the lesson is going to continue. And guess what? The test is going to get harder. When he put you through it the first time, it was easy and you didn't get the message. Now you're going through it again and it's a little harder. It took a little bit more out of you. But what you're going through now is the proving time. There's a scene. I'm grateful for this. Thank you. I'm so grateful for this message. Y'all know I'm a huge comic book fan, Batman fan and everything. Y'all know that, right? There's a scene from the old Dark Knight movies with Christian Bale, where the very first movie, where the bad guy comes, Ra's al Ghul comes and burns down his house, and this big beam falls across his chest, and his butler Alfred can't lift it, and then Alfred looks at him and says, "What's been the purpose of all those push-ups?" Y'all just missed it. What's been the purpose of all those push-ups? What's been the purpose of all that shouting you've been doing, all that praying you've been doing, all that Bible reading you've been doing, and you can't get through this? You've been in church your whole life. You've been reading that Bible your whole life. And the first storm come up, you want to act a doggone fool. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of lifting all them weights? What's the purpose of all that midnight Bible study? What's the purpose of all them degrees? What's the purpose of all of this knowledge you got? And now the first time a storm comes, you don't know how to act. I'm going to help somebody today. There's a reason why God is allowing you to do all the learning you've been doing. There's a reason he's allowed you to go to where you've been going. That's why he's put you in rooms with all the people he's put you in front of. The reason he's done that is because he's prepared you and has been preparing you
for what's to come. So the training that you've had, the prayers you've prayed, the hands that have been laid on you, all the things that he's done, all of the things that he's done is just to prepare you for where you are right now. And the question you need to ask yourself is, have I really been prepping or have I been cheating the process? Because the only reason you're still angry, the only reason you're still upset is because the process, you have been cheating the process. Angela says, we'll keep repeating the lesson if we don't pass through. Graduation is inevitable for this life's Christian journey, but you must go to the next levels in him. Amen. You have to. You simply have to. There's no getting around it. But there's a process to it. There is a process. My God. Look, y'all, today has been great. I thank y'all so much. I know it was a little, you know, it was a little subdued, but it's just how it was, man. It's all good. I'm happy with it. I'm always happy with what God does, man. God, and I say this all the time, even when I preach, every message ain't gonna shout you. Sometimes it's just to make you rethink some things. And I'm just grateful for God for who he is. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. Lord, we thank you simply for who you are. God, we honor you for who you are. God, we lift your name for who you are. God, we bless your name for who you are. God, we glorify your name for who you are. God, we worship your name for who we are. And God, we praise your name, God, for who you are. God, right now, we just say thank you, God. We thank you just for everything that you've done for us. God, we're thankful. We're just thankful that you continue to be the God of us all. And if you continue to protect us, God. Now, God, as we leave this place, but never your presence, we ask that you would give us traveling mercies as we go our separate ways. God, we ask that you would bless each and every listener and every watcher of this platform. God, those who listened on Blog Talk Radio, God, those who listened on their phones, God, those who watched on Facebook Live, those who watched on Ustream. And then, God, we ask a special prayer for those who will be watching later, right now, God. And then, God, we ask a prayer for Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. and his family, God. We know the diagnosis is dire, but we know there's still a balm in Gilead. So right now, God, we ask that you would touch him as only you know how. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. I love y'all. I love y'all with the love of Christ. Y'all stay blessed. And if you got to drive through this special city we call Chicago, y'all already know. Keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. Got to go. Y'all be blessed. Peace out. Keep your head on a swivel.